Welcome back. It's Karen Conti. We are talking about the story of the candidate for Mississippi governor who says he would not let a woman journalist be with him in his car by herself, unaccompanied, because he was afraid that it's unprofessional to be alone with a woman who's not my wife. Does a man have a moral and legal practical right to say that he will never be alone with a woman because he's concerned about some her making something up or there being some impropriety? Is this the way our workforce is going to go? With us, and I'm going to have all, I'm going to try to get all of your calls in, 9817200, a bunch of good texts. But I wanted to talk to an expert as well. Let's go to Alton Harris. Alton Harris is an expert on this issue. He's the attorney and a co-author with his wife, Andy Kramer, of It's Not You. I'm going to put you on hold. There's a little bit of an echo there. Can we get rid of that? He wrote a book called Women's Conflict at Work and the Bias That Built It and Breaking Through Bias. And he writes about these issues along with his wife, both of them attorneys. Alton, still there?
Yes, I am. Please call me Al, Karen.
Okay. There we go. Hi, Al.
How are you today?
Good, good. What's your weigh-in on this?
Well, I think it's a little more complex than we've let on so far. Let me go back. Billy Graham wrote a autobiography in 1948 in which he describes a pledge that he and a number of other evangelical ministers had made that they would not be alone with a woman, not their wife, ever. And it's that pledge that Mike Pence famously re-echoed and that the now governor for Mississippi has echoed. And so we've got a long tradition, particularly in the evangelical faith, that single one-on-one contacts between men and women are improper. Not necessarily improper because somebody's going to make an improper move, but because the world sees them or are suspicious of them as being improper, and that these men have an obligation to keep themselves free of public suspicion. And unfortunately, it's not limited to the evangelicals. In February and March of this year, Lean In and SurveyMonkey did a survey of over 5,000 managers across the country, and it turned out that, now this is the workplace, this isn't the political environment that we've been talking about, turns out that over 60% of men believe that they are uncomfortable and do not want to be involved in one-on-one normal workplace situations with women.
Okay, so given the fact that this is something that, you know, this I'm going to have to put you on hold for a minute. I've got a terrible echo here. Yes, this is an epidemic, and this is a backlash for the Me Too movement. I just want to read a couple of these texters. Women brought this on themselves. Texter says that. Tell me how women have brought this on themselves. I mean, really, tell me that. And the idea that it, and then another texter says, and I understand this, I think it's okay for a while doctors were male and had female in the room while examining a woman. Our current climate sexually is volatile and this protects the politician. Men need to protect themselves. It is not does not offend me. Put the shoes on the other foot. What if I were your boss and I say I'm going to mentor women, but I'm not going to mentor men because I feel like they're going to come on to me. You know, I can't really go to lunch with you. I can't really take you on a business trip. I can't even take you in a deposition because I think you're going to do something untoward. Or I think that it reflects poorly on me and someone, my husband, might suspect that I'm having an affair. I mean, I just, does that even sound like something that's reasonable? And you as men out there, what would you say to that? Would you stand on your soapbox and say that's discrimination? You're not going to treat me like that. Why do women get mentored and men don't get mentored? And what would stop me from making up something about a female? Let's just say I'm in my office and a female comes in. And what happens if a female says, hey, you know what? Karen said some really bad derogatory racial comment while I was with her. Well, she could make that up, too. I don't see how it makes a difference what your gender is. Al, I'm going to get you back on the phone and hopefully there's not going to be an echo, but there is.
Well, let's see whether we can talk through it. Well, what I said before, in no way I want to in any way suggest that I approve of this behavior. I totally agree with you that the consequence of men choosing in some way to distance themselves from one-on-one relationships with women, the major impact of that is highly discriminatory and impacts women's careers, their opportunities, their livelihoods. Now, let me suggest, I know that you and the callers have suggested that this decision on the part of the governor entirely...
Al, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take a break here, and we've got lots of callers. Can you hold with me? Okay, good. Well, I'm going to try to get to all of you, but I really need to take a break here. We're talking about the Mississippi governor who said he won't be alone with a woman journalist in his car during the campaign. He says it's inappropriate and unprofessional, and it is dishonor to his wife. We're getting lots of calls here. We've got Al Harris, who wrote the book, a couple of the books on the issue, Breaking Through Bias and Women's Conflict at Work. I want to just read a couple texts, and I'm going to get to a couple listeners because people have diverse opinions on this. I had a texter who said powerful men fear powerful women. They assume women are out to get them because of their gender or political view or religious affiliation. Then they'll lose privileged position because they're paranoid of who they are and what they will do in private. That's why women should be in charge of the world. Love your show. Haven't we been, this is another texter from 815. Haven't we been told that when a woman levies an accusation, we as men need to shut up and the woman must be believed? I think this candidate and other men are protecting themselves from false accusations, negative publicity, and a ruined career. You know, and that's those kind of sum up what, you know, what the problems are here. Let's go to, I'm going to get Al Harris back on the line in 1 minute, but Chris Grand Rapids, thank you for holding. What's your position?
Basically what your text just said, but since it's already been said, I have another issue. Some women, not all women, but some women almost seem like they're speaking out of two sides of their mouth. On one hand, they're like, there's all this toxic masculinity, there's this rape culture, and men are creeps. And then they're like, but I want to be in the room alone with them. Like, you can't have it both ways. It's like,
you know, and that's, is that the perception that women have? Like, I have never thought that men are creeps. I love men. I love the men in my life have been the best mentors, you know, probably better than most women to me. Right. The idea of who I am as an attorney is because of the men who have mentored me. And I've never even thought about that being an issue. I've never felt that a man thought I was a threat. And so I just think somehow we've got this skewed view that women don't like men and they're going to say something false about them.
And I think there's a very civil solution to all of this. Instead of drawing lines and having the war of the sexes, I think women who are known for being empathetic can maybe empathize with the men and realize that we live in this woman must be believed culture, and there are stories of being falsely accused. So women can be empathetic of that.
Chris, we're not getting a really bad connection there all the way from Grand Rapids. Al Harris, I'm going to get you back on the line. You're the expert in this. So what should, you know, I know you have a lot to say about it. I want to get some of these other callers, but what should women do or what should men do? If this is truly an issue and men are truly worried about it, is there something that we can do to make this problem go away? Because this is going to be horrible for women at the workplace.
It certainly is going to be horrible, Karen. One of the things that we need to do is the men that agree with your texters and your callers need to start talking to other men. Men, it's a men's problem, and the men have got to find a way to end it. But beyond that, if you're a woman and you've got these concerns, what we're suggesting is that women go to men one-on-one, not in public, not in a restaurant, not at a bar, but in some relatively public space, and talk to them. Say, I need your help. I need you to be available to me. I need to learn from you. You cannot draw away from me. And what we find is that when women approach men in non-confrontational ways, they will back off their reluctance and they will start moving forward and being active advocates.
Interesting. Now, Wallace, I know you've been holding for a while. What's your comment about this? You said you find yourself uncomfortable in office situations with only two people there. Tell me about that. Nope. Wallace?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. For a second. Please excuse me there.
Okay.
But, you know, I do work in an office environment where there is just two people and the other person is a woman. And most of the women that I do work with, they are like half my age. So it's that there's a variance, like a father-daughter age difference. And sometimes this can be uncomfortable because I understand the mother-daughter, wife, you know, spouse environment you want to create for them so they can be, you know, comfortable working with you. But sometimes the company can create this environment too for you. I know once when I was out of the office on my off day, the district manager and the regional manager, they came in and had a meeting with her. And they asked her about working with me, and they asked her questions like, have I said things that made her feel uncomfortable? How does she feel working with me? They asked about the work environment. And, you know, she expressed to me what happened, you know, the next day when I came in. So, of course, this can make it uncomfortable as well for men, because sometimes the company or, you know, they can create this environment. It's not like they were asking me the same question that I was uncomfortable working with her.
That's interesting that by virtue of them even questioning you, that made you feel uncomfortable. Thank you for the call. Thank you very much. Alton, what do you think of something like that, that the workplace actually creates this kind of environment? Okay. All right. Ben, I'm not sure what's going on here, but let's go to Kurt in Elmhurst. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think we need to respect this gentleman and his, I mean, it sounds like it's somewhat akin to his religious feelings. And if it was a similar situation where, let's say, there's a woman from a conservative religion and she said, I don't want to be alone with a man, I mean, that happens all the time, that if somebody may not feel comfortable in that situation or may be opposed to their religion, I don't think we would say, well, you know, this is a terrible thing. We'd just say, hey, we have to accommodate.
Okay,
you know,
now, okay.
Make
okay.
sure somebody's there for her or, you know, in the situation.
And I hear what you're saying, but let me just put it this way. Okay, let's just say that we're in the workplace, not the governor situation, and we're in the workplace. And I read the Bible as saying that disabled people are not godly. And there are some people who read that into the Bible. I don't read it into the Bible any which way at all. So I'm just making this up. This is something that I've read online, that handicapped people are ungodly people. And therefore, I don't want to work with handicapped people. This person in a wheelchair, not going to work with that person because my religious views say that I should not be with those kinds of people because they're ungodly. Now, do you think that my religious belief in that regard should be honored? How do you
not necessarily
do you
not? I mean, the company probably can't let you do that. I mean, there's certainly plenty of situations where somebody has views about, let's say, they might feel like women shouldn't be in the workplace at all. Well, we don't let that run the workplace.
Well, right. But in your situation, you're saying that you would respect that person's religious view that being alone is not good. And what if
when you say being alone, you could be in an office with them alone with the door open, so it's not like it's your, you know, you're isolated, and they still can have a fairly private conversation. Or you can invite somebody else in with them. Why can't the woman bring along somebody else?
You know, this, and
or,
then so you,
know,
so you make
the,
that you make it harder for a woman in the
office. I don't feel comfortable with a man. Would we say, well, and you know, she can't bring, you know, say, okay, bring another someone you'd feel comfortable with along, and you could conduct business in a similar manner.
If a woman said that, she'd be out of the workplace. And women are outnumbered.
What do you mean she'd be out of the workplace? So there's probably plenty of times where a woman says, I can't be alone with this person. They make me feel uncomfortable. I don't feel like it's, you know, something I feel is right based on my religion. Would we say, you're fired? You know, human resources departments would try and accommodate.
The woman would be fired. I'll tell you that right now.
No way. I know it happens all the time where somebody, now it's been more of an individual thing. This person makes me feel uncomfortable. But, you know, then they say, okay, if you have to be together, you're never together alone.
So basically, you're saying if a person has a religious belief that they can't be alone with a woman, then we should honor that.
Well,
and then
hey,
the woman then wait, hold on. Then the
they
woman
can't
doesn't
be alone
get
with
to
another
go.
Person of another gender.
The woman doesn't get to go on a business trip that might be important to the case.
Why can't they go
the
on a business trip?
Because a man doesn't want to be in the same car, the same cab, the same lunch spot, the same hotel.
They can't travel independently. They can't have a third person there if it's so critical that they be there together.
So you incur an extra cost just so a woman could go along. Guess what? The woman's
well,
not going to be asked.
You know, you talked about disabled people. We incur extra costs. Somebody has a wheelchair, we have to have a wheelchair ramp.
So
if they're blind, you have to have accommodations to let them do their work without vision.
So if I'm employed at the workplace, I have to have a spare man with me at all times to attend business meetings.
No. What
I
you
mean, do you
know,
think
though,
I would be hired?
I mean,
if I had
not
to
in business meetings all the time when I go to work, but if I know that I don't feel comfortable with that person, then I would think it could be accommodating that you don't have to bring somebody along. You leave the door open to the office.
Thank you for your call,
you know,
Carter.
Or I think if it has to be, let's say my boss is somebody I don't feel comfortable with, someone from Human Resources is there during my review. If that has to be a closed-door situation, they don't happen that often.
Yeah. Thank you. You know what? I disagree with you, but I really appreciate it, and I'm glad we had that discussion.
I guess I just want to make sure you feel like if the roles were reversed and a woman didn't feel comfortable with a man, religion or otherwise, I think we'd try and accommodate that
person. The woman would be fired. The woman would be fired.
They would not be fired.
If I complained that I'm not comfortable with the man because I feel like he might put his hand on my knee, I would be fired.
You said it's a religious thing.
Okay, then yeah, I can't be alone.
You can't discriminate against somebody because of their religion.
Where in the Bible does it say you can't be alone with a man or a woman?
A woman must be chaperoned or be accommodated, or you know.
Is that in the Bible? Because I'm not sure.
Look, there's more than one religion out there, and there's plenty. I mean, certainly, very strict Arabs don't let women wander free, and if they somehow are in a situation that they might end up with a man by themselves, they would say, hey, look, find a chaperone or do something to accommodate.
Got it. Thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it. I'm going to have to just get Alton really fast for one last comment before I take a break. I'm totally late here. Sorry.
Well, I think what's being missed here is that we've got laws on the books that say that men and women should have equal opportunities for promotion, for career advancement. And this is a male-created problem that is not allowing that to happen. And so we've got to find ways to stop it. We've got to find ways that make it possible for men to recognize that women have equal opportunities with men. If they take men out to lunch alone, they need to take women out to lunch alone.
Al,
if they have drinks with men, they need to have drinks with women.
Al, thank you so much for weighing in on this, and I really appreciate it. Al Harris, author of some very, very good books on women in the workplace, thank you for your time. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show.